Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pick and Pop podcast in association with Pick and Roll and Zoom TV. I'm Christopher Tyler, and on the phone with me is my regular co-host, Luke Sicari. What's going on, buddy?
Not much, Christos. How are you?
I'm okay, my friend. I'm okay. Now, we want to start getting into the show straight away, and we love to get you on because you are the NBL guru. You write the weekly power rankings for pickandroll.com.au, so we're going to start off with those straight away. And the team that you have at number 8 has taken a big, big fall. They were 4th last week, and that is, of course, the Brisbane Bullets.
Yeah, they have, and I must put a caveat on all of these rankings prior to beginning, is that last week, every bottom-ranked team beat every top-ranked team. So these rankings are literally changing on a weekly basis.
It just goes to show how close the league is, which is fantastic to see.
It really does. Like, Brisbane are nowhere near the worst team in the league. They're unfortunate. They're an unlucky team in this league because someone had to go last. And seeing they got killed by Adelaide after the Twitter banter between Daniel Kickett and Coach Joey Wright and Jerome Randall, they laid an egg against the Sixers. They were so, so soft defensively. They play, as we're speaking today, they play tonight in Perth, which is a massive challenge. I mean, their offense still looks good, but they got to bounce back because their defense was horrific against Adelaide last Thursday at home as well.
And the team that we have at number 7, Perth Wildcats. Again, last week they were 2nd. They're down to 7th now. Another, example of how close the league is.
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, they lost to Illawarra after holding a pretty comfortable first quarter lead, which is unlike Perth to drop a big lead at home. But they did, which again, it shows how good the league is. But it also shows that I think this Wildcats team isn't as intimidating as years past. I mean, Damian Martin's still out, which we can't speak about how big of a loss he is. And Jared Kenny's just returning from injury. Jaron Johnson has been a bit inconsistent. Casey Prather has been really good. Matty Knight's playing good. But I just worry about the Wildcats as their backup guards. Dexter Kernich-Drew is a good shooter, but he's coming back to earth a little bit. Kerbin Rowe's inexperience still shows. And Mason Bragg, who's an absolute spark plug when he comes on the court, but he can only provide so much. Those guys can only play so much. They combine for 15 minutes against Illawarra, which means there's a lot of leaning on the starters for the Wildcats. I worry a little bit, but this team won't be 7 for long. I can pretty much guarantee that.
At number 6, the New Zealand Breakers. It's a bit strange seeing the Breakers and the Wildcats at 6 and 7 respectively. Last week, the Breakers were 3rd. Have a bit of a chat about the Breakers for us.
Yeah, and again, it's just like the previous two. It's just unlucky because the teams above them, they just won games this week.
Don't give yourself an out. You got to commit to your rankings. You think they're the 6th best team in the league.
I don't reckon they're the 6th best
team. Don't be half-assed.
They're not the 6th. They're a very good team, the Breakers. But I think they lost to a Cairns team. The second time they've lost to Cairns this season. So keep an eye on that in case they do meet in the playoffs, which is a very real possibility. New Zealand's defense hasn't been great. It's equal 2nd last in the league for points per 100 possessions given up. Their offense is still beautiful, but they're often sometimes overshadows at those defensive shortcomings. Keep an eye on that. They play the Hawks and Melbourne United this week, two teams that are in form. So it's a big week for the Breakers.
The tiebreaker, if you're ever trying to decide where the Breakers should go between them and a team that are performing relatively on par to their on-court performances, you just put the Breakers after them because of how terrible their court is. Every time you watch them on TV, it is just disgraceful. They have to do something about the hardwood.
Yeah, it's not great, that two-tone court they've got down here in New Zealand.
Disgusting. At number five, you've got the Adelaide 36ers, who last week were 8th. So a nice jump up for Joe Wright's boys.
Yeah, very nice jump up because they had two very nice wins. I mean, we spoke earlier about their win against Brisbane, which they took advantage of Brisbane's horrible defense. But don't take anything away from the 36ers. They came out fired up. And watching that game, I thought, it's a bit hard to judge because Adelaide were probably more emotionally invested in that game after what had happened off the court during the week. But then they back it up it was closer. The margin doesn't indicate. I mean, it was a 6-point win, but they controlled Sydney in Sydney. And they had a big final quarter against the league leaders. And it was impressive. You know, Jerome Randall's still scoring the ball. Nathan Sobey scoring. Daniel Johnson's having a very good season that's kind of going under the radar. And Majuk Dang's another one out of Louisiana Monroe. He's playing, he's versatile on the defensive end, and he can put up points quickly. He's another one that's playing good for Adelaide. All of a sudden, they're back in the finals picture, which I never thought I'd be saying.
At number 4, we have a team that I think would surprise a lot of people, especially this time last week, to see him so low, and that's the Sydney Kings. Andrew Gaze's Sydney Kings, who last week were the first overall team in your power rankings. They've dropped to fourth after a less than impressive week.
Yeah, I think Sydney, it's an interesting one. I mean, to me, they're probably still the best team in the league. But you look at their round eight, they lost to the buzzer against Melbourne. And that's another one of those games where you look at the scores and you think, okay, well, since they lost to a great shot. Not really, because there were big concerns in that game from Sydney that Melbourne's defense kind of locked them down for stages, and Sydney's defense was really soft. Their pick and roll coverages were out of whack. They tried switching, then they went to a trap. Neither of them worked. And then against Adelaide, they just lacked some intent and some urgency against the 36ers. And again, it was defensively. Andrew Gaze said after the Melbourne game, he said giving up 95 points in a 40-minute game is too many. Well, they gave up 91 against Adelaide, which isn't that much better. It's still above 90. So just watch this space. I mean, their big's getting a lot of foul trouble. Steve Blake's now gone, obviously, for a family issue. The door is still open for a Steve Blake return, but it does seem unlikely. Just keep an eye on the Kings because it's a bit shaky. Let's see how they do with some adversity.
Will Steve Blake's departure be positive or negative for the team, do you think?
Look, he didn't have a massive impact on the court, but I think for a team in Sydney that doesn't play their bench a lot, it's a lot of it's just an eight-man rotation from Andrew Gaze's team. I think it probably hurts a bit just because it doesn't give them that reliability off the bench. While Steve Blake wasn't hitting his shots, he wasn't really doing anything wrong. So, I mean,
just couldn't hit his threes.
Yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, we've got to appreciate that he chose the NBL.
Oh, it's fantastic.
To do his basketball career. Granted, it didn't really work out, I mean, amazingly, but we've still got to appreciate that he chose our league.
Number three, Illawarra Hawks. Last week, you had them at fifth.
Yeah, and it's because of their win against Perth in Perth. I mean, for those who don't know, it was their first win in Perth since 2005 and in 25 attempts since 2005. I mean, I love it, the power rankings. I love when history is made. And to me, this drought-breaking win for the Hawks, it was history. So I put them into third spot. But let's not forget how they won, you know. Coming down from 14 points in the first quarter, you'd think, okay, the Wildcats are going to run away with this one. Illawarra kept fighting. Their second and third quarter was sensational. They've got the league's second-ranked offense. Rob Beveridge moved Ronte Clark to the bench last week, and it's working because the former MVP has came back and responded with two 20-plus point outings. It's kind of rejuvenated him. So Illawarra has been it's probably been the most inconsistent team all year. They still look like the team sometimes you see that made the semi-final last year, but at times they don't look as good as that. If they can play like they did against Perth, I mean, they can make the playoffs. I mean, all these teams can make the playoffs. But Illawarra, with their offensive system, they're very, very good.
At number two, you've got Melbourne United, who last week you had at seventh. Are they starting to finally hit their straps after a somewhat slow start to the season?
Yeah, I think they are, Christos. And it comes down to health. I mean, Chris Golding's back, who's having a very good impact. I mean, he isn't scoring the ball as much. I mean, he did against Cairns. I think he scored 15 against the Kings, if I remember correctly. But it's just having him on the court, having that extra rep, and the defense, he attracts so much defensive attention. And even Casper Ware has come in and made a massive impact. He's obviously not afraid to shoot the basketball, as we've seen, but he's hitting shots. I mean, his free ball's been a bit off, but I mean, you look at the free he hit on the weekend, it was the biggest one to defeat the Kings at home. And he's given this United team a jolt of energy that they really needed. It felt like the pressure was getting to them as they were losing. Granted, again, they weren't healthy, but they were still losing these games that they should win. And it felt like the pressure was getting to them and things weren't right. Casper has come in and changed all that in a heartbeat. It makes you wonder how much of a drift existed between Cedric Jackson and the team, especially Coach Dean Demopoulos, because Casper has come in and flipped the switch. And United's offense, they're moving the ball really, really well. They're creating multiple weapons. Todd Blanchfield's probably going to play this week. That's another three-point shooter out there. This isn't the team. I mean, you still worry if they play too much isolation at times, but at the moment, they're moving the basketball at a really, really good clip. And they're looking like the team we expected them to be.
For those of you doing that math at the home, that leaves only one team left in Luke Sicari's round eight power rankings, and that is, of course, the Cairns Taipans, who last week you had at sixth. A terrific week for the Taipans.
Yeah, it was. And I think it's been a pretty good season for them overall. They got off to an 0-3 start, but they've responded since then. It's the quality of their wins that I really like. They've defeated New Zealand twice. They've beaten Melbourne, albeit they were injured back then and had Cedric playing, but they still beat them because you still got to win these games. People always put caveats on games, but you still got to go out and win them. Then they beat Illawarra, and they've beaten Sydney as well. So they've beaten the best teams in the league. And Travis Trice really unlocks this Taipans team. He's been injured, and his first game back against Melbourne, he wasn't great. But against New Zealand on the weekend, he had 31 points. And he gives the league's worst-ranked offense per 100 possessions. He gives them someone who can create their own shot. The Taipans don't have a lot of guys who you can kind of give the ball in their hands and say, go to work and get me a bucket. Travis Trice gives them that. You know, Cam Glidden is struggling to recapture his preseason form, but Travis Trice is the guy. You know, if he can consistently put up 20 points, 25 points, 30 points, this Taipans team all of a sudden has an offensive weapon to complement their already really, really strong defense. Because this is a team that executes well offensively, but they never really have the talent to really to finish it off, to polish it off. Travis Trice gives them that.
If you want to respond to Luke Sicari's Round 8 Power Rankings, make sure you hit him up on Twitter, at Luke Sicari. Tell him why he's wrong, tell him why he's right. Just give him some feedback. He always loves responding to people on Twitter, yeah. So make sure you do that. Just before we finish off, Luke, because we've just about run out of time, is there anything you want to say about any of the Aussies in the NBA for over the past week?
Yeah, just quickly, Patty Mills is playing sensational basketball for the San Antonio Spurs. He's been given a larger opportunity with Tony Parker being in and out of the lineup because Popovich is monitoring his minutes. But Patty Mills has really taken advantage. You know, as of Tuesday's games, he was 20th in the league in assist to turnover ratio, 16th among point guards, 5th in true shooting percentage, and 6th in effective field goal percentage. So he's really shooting the ball lights out. He's not turning it over. He's running the offense. He hasn't been a negative on the defensive end. And this is his final year of his contract. You know, Patty Mills is entering free agency. We saw Dally's big payday last year. Patty Mills is setting himself up for an even bigger one because he's playing some great basketball for the Spurs.
And also, just before we finish off, I just wanted to mention that the Ben Simmons documentary has been made available in Australia. If you hit up SEN America's Twitter account, at SEN America, we have tweeted out a file that you can download too. So you and I are yet to watch it. We downloaded it yesterday, but we are yet to watch it. So hopefully on the show next week, we can have a bit of a chat about it. But Luke, thank you so much for joining us as always, stepping in and filling in for Damian Arsenis. As always, as I mentioned before, we can find all your work at Luke Sicari. You're right for pickandroll.com.au. You're right for SEN America. You're right for a whole bunch of places. We always appreciate you coming on, mate. So thanks for joining us.
No problems, Christoph. And just quickly, Ben Mallis from the pickandroll.com.au has reviewed the Ben Simmons documentary if anyone wants to go read Ben's great recaps.
pickandroll.com.au. You can find me at Christoph Tyler. We'll catch you all next week.